Gold medalist Matt Hamilton. Rutledge. Live from the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light, continues live at the Sutter Capital Ice Arena. Can't get enough of the Sutter Capital Ice Arena and the USA Curling Mixed Doubles National Championship. Wherever Matt Hamilton is where the show wants to be. We got Matt Hamilton, Olympic gold medalist, for 1 hour today.
Yep, 1 hour. And I'm pretty sure over the next couple, just end up moving the studio here. Because it seems like we're doing shows every day from the Sutter Ice Arena here in Middleton.
And we are having a blast. We love it out here, and we are having a good time. Keeping an eye on what could be some really fun and exciting breaking news that the baseball union and owners are moving closer. The one wild card here, as I follow along, the Mets might throw this off. There's some Mets players that are worried about their specific paychecks being affected because the Mets are so far over the salary cap or whatever, the luxury tax already, that they could end up losing money. So glad to see nobody's being selfish right now. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do. You can get into the show at Jim Rutledge, at Alex underscore Strofe, at Jim and Matt, and at Matt Jamilton. We got a lot of fun things to get into today. Only 2 hours, so Matt, we're going to feel tight. You only got 1 hour, so I don't know how that affects your Coors for today's show, but
I banked a couple.
Okay. So, all right. Now, you're still doing. So, over the last few days, we've talked a ton about Aaron Rodgers. We've talked a ton about the terrible quarterbacks like Jimmy Garoppolo and Carson Wentz, and Mitch Trubisky's going to get paid, and Packer fans are rightfully rejoiced that they don't have to get into this game. Now, I think it was around 23% of Packer fans would have preferred the Seahawks haul that they got instead of paying Aaron Rodgers all this money to get all those picks and get some solid players. About 23% of our fans on our X-Golf Madison poll question yesterday said that they would take that. Does that number shock you, or is that kind of where – it's kind of right about where I thought it would land.
Yeah, it shocks me because we've got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, like, we weren't going to be Super Bowl contenders. There's no guarantee of it without Aaron Rodgers and those picks. But with Aaron Rodgers, we know we're in the mix. We know we're one of the top teams in the NFC. So for that, for the people that are saying no, I feel like it's more for the drama aspect that Rodgers is bringing. And it's definitely not for the performance he's put out on the field, because I understand playoffs can be rough, but we had 13 good weeks out of 16 and 17 the last 3 years. I'm pretty sure that our best shot at getting back to a Super Bowl where we want to be is with Rodgers.
And, you know, one other part of it would be the age as well. I mean, Aaron is older, and, you know, Alex Strofe back at the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios. We were talking, you know, earlier today, and there's some scuttlebug that this deal could have, you know, to Aaron's point when he had to tweet out and say that he has it technically signed. It's been agreed to. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of different podcasts, but there could be an idea that this deal could be 4 years, $200 million, $153 guaranteed. But could be some void years worked in there. That Aaron, if he was looking to retire at this year, how many of these 4 years he's going to play?
Right. Fortunately for the Packers, they got to work out a deal that does not absolutely hamstring him for the future. So that's where these void years will come in and maybe open up some cap space if Rodgers decides after two that he's calling it quits. And hopefully he doesn't take the Brett Favre route and quit for, you know, the summer and then get picked up by the Jets.
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, that's actually a pretty sweet deal for the Packers. I think if they do 2 years, you get two more years and you get Aaron at 39 and 40, that's not bad either. Get Aaron right there. That over 40, I think that's a fair magic number. I'm 41, and I know I'm not a professional athlete, but most 40-year-olds are not trying to get out there and get hammered into the ground. We saw how Brett Favre's career ended right around 40 or 41, and that was getting slammed into the turf in Minnesota and ended on an injury. Because at that age, look, Aaron looked cold. Remember we talked all the time about Aaron Rodgers, or excuse me, Brett Favre looking cold in some of those playoff games? Yeah. Aaron looking cold in some of those playoffs games, too. I don't know what it is. The older you get, the colder you look in some of those games, too. Not on the field, but on the sidelines, yeah. They got that kind of look. Like
that fancy turtleneck that he's been wearing, like it's got frill and stuff. I was like, did he raid Prince's closet to get that turtleneck? And then he saw Jordan Love on the sideline of the same one, so Aaron must have got a bulk deal and just passed him out to all of his boys.
I wonder what look we're going to get from Aaron Rodgers this year. Is it going to be the...
I hope it's the long hair.
The long hair? Long hair hippie look?
Go with the mustache and just totally rip my style again.
See, but it's so... It could be a secondary X-Golf Madison poll question. Did the Aaron Rodgers rip Matt Hamilton's style? You pull it off, but you have a little more of a hippie look. He gives off a little bit more of like a Leonard Skinner roadie or or truck stop, truck driver look. It's not. I don't know if it's the thickness of his hair. It's a little bit thinner. It doesn't like bundle together, so it's like you see each strand of hair from him. He's a little bit skinnier.
Yeah,
but it's almost to the point where it makes him look. Again, like sickly. So,
yeah, and I have a massive head, so that's a little bit different too.
So there's a little bit mixed in there. What do you think, Strofe? Did Aaron Rodgers steal Matt Hamilton's look? Did we just stumble onto something?
I mean,
yeah, I don't know, man. Matt looks a hell of a lot better than Aaron Rodgers does.
I didn't say he did it better, but you can still steal a look.
Nah, right,
I started growing my hair out, then Rodgers did. I had the mustache, and then Rodgers is coming around with the mustache in October. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say he's totally stealing my look, but
you guys follow each other on Twitter.
Yeah, it's not like he's not seeing what you look like.
Assuming he's all up in the Twitter business the way we think he is. I think he just tweets his own stuff and doesn't look at anything else.
I can see him being that self-involved. That
he's just like, it's probably, I'm not tagged in it, so I'm not going to look at it.
Right, yeah. I'm just going to put out what I want to do. I'll be on here for 5 minutes a week, and then I shut it down.
Yeah.
So the conversation yesterday's show started with Jordan Love. And I said, I'm tired of talking about Jordan Love. Packer fans should be happy you never have to talk about Jordan Love again. If Jordan Love is in the Packers' future, something's gone terribly wrong if we're talking about Jordan Love this football season or next football season. But I get on the phone with Strofe this morning, and he says, I want to talk about Jordan Love. Everyone's got love for Jordan Love. Now he's a sympathetic character. So, you know, what are the Packers going to do with him? What do they owe him? Is he going to be a good backup? Is that fair to him? Because if he backs up Aaron Rodgers for the next 2 years and then just walks, he's not going to get a lot of opportunities.
You know, I still think that there will be teams willing to take a flyer on a guy who learned under one of the greats.
But he's at best you're going to get a Yeah, but so did Brett Hundley, Matt Flynn. There's a lot of bums that also learned under.
This is a first round, and Matt Flynn got paid.
Brian Brohm was a second round pick, a high second round pick, who also was behind, I think, Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre in that window too. So there's a lot of bunk in that. I mean, there's plenty of guys who are around great quarterbacks that are crap. Jim Sorge would be one. He got to be behind high-end draft picks who have been behind great quarterbacks who didn't pan out. So that doesn't necessarily match. So
that's what I'm saying. It's a flyer.
But Jordan, like a flyer in the idea that Jordan Love, if he's on the Packers 2 years from now, at best someone's going to say, you can compete with our bum quarterback,
Jim,
and we'll see what happens.
Those aren't apples-to-apples comparisons, right? Jordan Love has learned under Aaron Rodgers during two MVP seasons. Brian Brohm was in Green Bay from 08 to 09. Two seasons under Aaron Rodgers. The first, the second and third season he started? So, very different Aaron Rodgers during those periods. And same with Matt Flynn. It was very early on. He was an MVP at that point, and a Super Bowl champion, but it's totally different Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but there are quarterbacks who have been high draft picks who have sat behind guys who turned out to be bums.
Yeah, that's usually the case.
As I'm saying, it's a nice little thing.
Right, but it's
I think
like,
it's pretty low on the
you
team
would rather
list.
Take Jordan Love playing under like Aaron Rodgers for his entire rookie contract than Jordan Love playing under literally anyone else. Like, that definitely sweetens the deal. Maybe not enough to like really pay the guy, but it's definitely something that people would put under consideration.
The consensus seems to be from most, and I know there's one outlying scout that says the Packers could get a second-round pick for Jordan Love. Most teams are like, PU, no thank you. I'd rather take a flyer on the guy in the draft or sign a veteran. But because the Flyer and the guy in the draft's on a rookie contract, they're restarting the clock.
Right.
And also a vet, or you go with a Jimmy Garoppolo, who he's not great, but you know what you're going to get.
Right.
Jordan Love is a big roll of the dice, and 2 more years from now, it could even be a bigger roll of the dice. You're right. Someone will he will get an opportunity. I don't think he gets 2 more years with the Packers. I think the Packers, if they go another year with him, they're going to have to move on from him. Because there's the other part of it for the Green Bay Packers of if they don't think Jordan Love's the guy, they're going to have to pick up his fifth-year option, and then that's a big-time check. There's no way they're going to do that, regardless of what they think of him, unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and Jordan Love just balls out, which I don't think is a scenario that anyone really wants, because I still think a balling out Jordan Love doesn't get you to the Super Bowl. You'd rather have 2 years of healthy Aaron Rodgers than a dinged-up Aaron Rodgers where Jordan Love is playing.
Right.
So I feel like within the next 2 seasons, whether it's this offseason or next offseason, Jordan Love's going to get traded, because the Packers are also going to want to start the clock on maybe they find their own third or fourth round pick that they want to bring in to back up and develop with Rodgers and with LaFleur. They're going to start that clock again with a quarterback. Hey, maybe it's Graham Mertz.
You
never know.
Hopefully it's Ben Kirk.
Ben Kirk will be like 28 by this
point. I love that guy.
Would you rather have Kirk Ben Kirk or Graham Mertz on the Packers?
Here's the thing. If I could just hire Kirk Ben Kirk to run the Packers' Twitter, I would just be a happy camper. Hire him for that. He might not ever see the field as a quarterback, but he can certainly run
26.
On Twitter.
At the end of this contract, Ben Kirk will be 30 years old. Let's hand it off to our 30-year-old journeyman quarterback, see what happens here. But it's a weird spot for the Packers because they drafted Jordan Love, and when Jordan Love got picked, he doesn't get to pick where he goes.
Right.
So Jordan Love gets drafted, and I'm sure somewhere in his mind he thought, okay, well, they're drafting me to develop me and play me or use me as an asset. And by year 3 in the NFL, I think he thought he'd be doing something more than he's doing, which is a backup to Aaron Rodgers. You don't draft backup quarterbacks in the first round. So now they're developing, and what are they developing him for? Are they developing him to trade him? But how are you going to showcase him? You can have this one preseason, try to showcase him, and hopefully he balls out, and then you try to trade him the next offseason. You could have 2 seasons of cost control, solid backup quarterback play. Or do you go to Jordan Love? Do you feel like you owe him to trade him because you drafted him? This is his career in the balance here.
Yeah, I think you try and trade him now. One, like, anything you can get at this point is probably good. Like
you're taking an L. You're taking an L.
And that's fair to say. Like, not every draft pick works out.
Yeah.
So I think you take the L, fourth, fifth, whatever, it's an L.
Try and
get him somewhere where he can compete, because we know he's not competing with Aaron Charles Rodgers.
Right.
So, you know, I do in a small sense feel bad for him, but at the same time, like, again, he had a pretty unique opportunity in playing backup for Aaron Rodgers. And you did say, you talked about bum quarterbacks. Matt Flynn got paid to be a backup. He went to like Seattle or something
But he had a couple regular season games and he had the preseason.
Yeah, and he had a great game that came down to the wire against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Right? So like you're right. He definitely had his opportunity and showcased that he was serviceable. But he went out to push Russell Wilson in his rookie year and got paid like $14 million.
Well, no, he went to they didn't have Russell. They signed Flynn, and then Flynn
and then
just got Wally Pipp.
Yeah.
So then they're like, oh, wait,
but
never
now
mind.
Now they're competing. Like,
right, yeah.
Oh, but, like, good for him. Like, he didn't have to take one more shot the rest of his career.
Right, yeah.
And he got paid.
I think he got $8 million from the Seahawks, and then they moved to the Raiders, and he got $6 million from them. And then he got a couple more deals, you know, for, as a backup quarterback.
$9 million from the Hawks.
$9 million. To ride.
According to Sport Track, it's like $8 million. What his number was from the Hawks, and he got $6 million from Oakland.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just looking at the, because I have his up, and I also have Jordan Love's contract in front of me. So the cap, and I guess I'm looking at cap hit. So I don't know what the actual
cap hit right now for Love.
The cap hit for Love The cap hit is 3.3, and then next year 3.9. So that's totally reasonable. That's
right.
Actually fine for a backup quarterback. But the question is that fair to Jordan Love? And do the Packers owe it to Jordan Love to trade him and give him an opportunity? That's our X-Golf Madison poll question. Do the Green Bay Packers owe it to Jordan Love to trade him?
So here's another question. Now, yeah. if you're anything like me, you just want to live comfortably and have like a happy life, right? Like that's the goal at the end of the day for everybody. Like Super Bowls and being a professional quarterback as a starter in the NFL, that seems like bonus. That seems like the sprinkles on top. You know what I mean? Jordan Love is making a healthy living, not having to do anything but back up the best quarterback talent-wise that we've seen ever, maybe.
Yeah, he's look.
It's not like they don't owe him because he's getting paid.
But you're a competitor.
Yeah.
He was drafted. But his ability to make money in the future is now hamstrung because if they trade him now a team can still have, let's say, the Colts. They could get him fourth, fifth-round pick, say, hey, we're going to trade for Jordan Love and we're going to get Andy Dalton. And the two of them are going to fight it out, and we'll see what happens here. But now we can see. Maybe Jordan Love, over the next 2 years, proves that he's worth picking up the fifth-year option. And now we have maybe, and they'll take a flyer on Love and see if he's a guy that can develop in their system. They need to win now. So there are teams out there right now that could maybe take a flyer on Love. Now the Packers, it could be to their detriment because $3.3 million for a backup quarterback is a pretty sweet number.
Yeah.
Or you could just roll with Benkert as a backup.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, we trust him enough. Aaron's been healthy over the last few years. He's over the weird little injury hiccup he had in you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, and we feel good with it. But that's our X-Golf Madison poll question, 844-770-3776. Do the Green Bay Packers owe it to Jordan Love to trade him? We'll take your calls, talk more about it on the other side. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Miss any of the show? Find full show podcasts, free, on Wisconsin On Demand and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben.
The celebration continues this week. What a week for breaking news. Excuse me. Brought to you by Metro Kia Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealership, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty, bringing you trusted breaking news here on ESPN Madison. ESPN's Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor deal, sources tell ESPN. Well, it still needs to be ratified by both parties. This is expected to be a formality. Baseball is back.
And so is Jeff Passan, allegedly, huh?
And no shifting.
I think that's a 2023 thing. I think some
that's
of those are 2020 things.
Ridiculous.
Thing. I don't care either way.
It's a defensive play. It's. I mean, whatever. It's going to probably force a little bit more of the interesting like scoring plays. Like people are going to be able to hit it. But like, how do you say where this guy has to, like, stand? Is there, like, a quadrant that's going to be, like, cut into the grass so they know he can't go past this certain line? Otherwise, it's considered a shift. Like, how are you going to quantify what's a shift and what's not?
I don't want to get into all this right now, but, like, I think some of the shift is just it gets a bit much. Maybe there's something about your shortstop isn't playing, like, second base. You're like maybe we have some sort of how you have to have three players on the left side of second base. Whatever
right.
It is. Like, I think there's – it gets obnoxious.
It does. It seems like a subjective thing that it's just going to come to the umpire and be like, hey, you weren't playing there before. That looked like a
well, I think if you just said to use second base as the as the marker.
Right.
And kind of say, hey, you can only have so many to the left or the right of it. Because, and I know everyone loves to say, but Matt, I don't know if it's apples to apples to curling, but you have a specific skill set to get to where you're going.
Right.
And you don't see these heavy shifts in other leagues. And then let's say it's Prince Fielder or whomever, a heavy pole hitter for the Brewers, and they're pulling. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, well, now you're in the major leagues. Just stop pulling it and just start kicking it out to the other side. Just bunt it. Just change how you played your entire life to get to professional baseball. Every Legion guy is like, oh, just pop it out to the other side. Yeah. That's not how it works. You got the greatest pitchers in the world throwing the ball 100 miles per hour. It looks like it's coming out your head, then it drops to the middle. And no, by the way, change your entire approach to swinging that got you all to the major leagues and just pop it out the left field. Just give it a little, give it a little flip out the left field. Where are you following this trophy?
On what, the shift?
Yeah.
I hate that shift. That shift is just obnoxious.
I mean, I understand.
See what
that,
I did there?
Yes, we got it.
It's the benefit, a little more scoring, like not as many people can.
I don't have a strong opinion.
Cut down the field. I get it. I understand. It's just,
I just don't
feels
care
like
anymore.
Changing.
Correct.
Fundamentally changing baseball.
Yes, and that's the thing, Matty. Right? Like baseball's supposed to be freaking fun, and Rob Manfred and company have just taken all the air out of that balloon. Like, it hasn't been fun for the last 2 years. The COVID restartup back in the summer of 2020 was ridiculous. It took way longer than it should have had to. This, again, here in 2022, the CBA, took way longer than it should have because people are stubborn. Rich people just want to get richer, and it's annoying. Like, and now this shift conversation, which I understand it is a real conversation around the sport of baseball. Like, why does it matter? If you can't hit the ball left, that's your own fault. I understand it's a 100-mile-per-hour fastball coming at you, and it's a lot easier said than done. But, like, if we're really eliminating things because teams are getting smarter, that just seems ridiculous to me. Everything about baseball has been obnoxious the last 2 years, and I'm just at a point where I'm over it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not ride or die one way or the other with a shift, but some people say, oh, it's just like playing defense in the NFL. Or is it like, we're just going to line our guys up in the backfield now, so deal with it. You know, like, I don't know. It's not just apples to apples. You're crossing sports, and you can't just say, it's just like scheming in the NFL on defense, and you're just aligning your guys up. I feel like it's a little bit closer to, like, we're just going to line our guys up 1 yard offsides. Deal with it. It's just football, man. Come on. We'll just change. Not everything has to be the same all the time. So, baseball's back, and I'm excited about that. We'll get back to Jordan Love in a second. Baseball hasn't registered the last 2 years, really, because I think a lot of it has to do with going to the games and the tailgating and the parties and all of that. And none of that's happening anymore. This should be the year it happened, so thank God they didn't ruin it. But we are excited about the Brewers, right? I mean, they're good. I know they didn't do what they were supposed to, but this year I think it's going to have a lot of juice, full AmFam Field, tailgating,
yes,
normal
tailgating
atmosphere. I mean, this could be, I'll say the opposite. Baseball could have blown it like nobody's blown it before if they didn't come back in what hopefully feels like a normal baseball season, where COVID is just a side story and it's not the lead story. We don't have to talk about it every day, and we can just embrace the sport. And baseball came dangerously close to blowing it, but I think it sounds like it's just a formality now. Baseball is back. 844-770-3776. We'll take your calls on your excitement for baseball is back. The Brewers, I would imagine, I haven't checked much in. I know there's a whole offseason we still have to have.
The entire offseason, yes.
That's what I said, a whole offseason that you have to have. But I think they'd still be considered the front runner in the NL Central.
I tend to agree, but hold on. Can we just talk about how crazy this timeline is? Players can begin reporting to spring training tomorrow. Tomorrow!
Oh, good.
Opening day, 4 weeks from tomorrow.
Monday.
4 weeks from
they
today.
Booked it up.
Spring training starts next week. We still have to do all the free agency stuff. Like, baseball is so, like, it's going to get fun here because there's just going to be so much shift happening. And I'm just excited to see all that play out, because you're right, Jim. The Brewers should be the favorite in the NL Central. Not much is changing in Milwaukee, except they got an X-Golf in American Family Insurance Park now. Did you see this?
I did see that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
X-Golf is at American Family Field. How cool is that?
That is cool.
But anyway, you know, everything's happening so fast. Like I said, spring training, tomorrow, players can report. We still have to do free agency. Opening day is in 4 weeks. So here's like, right? Think about any free agent in any sport. You have to not only decide on a team to play with, you got to sign a contract, and then you got to report like that because you just don't have any time to figure it out now. It's just sloppy by Major League Baseball. But for fans, it might be really exciting here the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, free agency starts tonight. I mean, it's going to get cranked all the way up.
Is there a chicken behind you guys? Or are you somebody cock-a-doodle-dooting?
That's curlers, my friend.
It's loud here.
Are they yelling, cock-a-doodle-doo?
No, but they might as well.
It's a lot of crowing. There's a lot of crowing. A
lot of crowing.
Not as much cock-a-doodle-dooing.
Yeah.
All right, Arch Golf Madison poll question. Do the Packers owe it to Jordan Love to trade him? Right now, 57% of you say no, they don't. 43% of you say yes, you do. What would you do? If you're Brian Gutekunst, what would you do?
I'm going to sway it right now. I'd trade him.
So you feel like...
I don't think they owe him, but I'd trade him for my own team's benefit. You can find a good fifth rounder. They're out there. That's proven.
Now, that's another...
I mean, hitting on it is tough, but
that's another ego hit, possible. Though, for Goody.
You know what? You got as a GM, you can't just be a guy who's purely on pride. You need to do what's best for the team, understand that misses are going to happen, and it's better to eat those misses sooner rather than later. Because if Jordan Love does go out and continue to – I shouldn't say continue. But if he shows that he's a bum, you're not going to get anything for him. He's just going to walk and then – You'd rather take a fifth or sixth rounder than nothing, wouldn't you?
But are you a dice roller? Do you say, I want a preseason of Jordan Love finally healthy, slinging the pill, and we're gonna get someone to think he's the next Matt Flynn?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible that he does that, but it's also possible to go the other way. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, if you can get something for him now, get something for him because. There's no guarantee his value is going up.
Well, it's impossible for his value to really go up. The Patriots drafted Jimmy G, and everyone liked him, and he had good preseasons. He was around. I believe they ended up just moving him for a second round. Like they drafted him in the second round. And maybe they got a second and like a mid-round pick for him. They didn't get a lot more for Jimmy G, but they did have what they felt was competent backup play as well. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. We'll take your calls on the other side.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Miss any of the show? Find full show podcasts, free, on Wisconsin On Demand and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back, so is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Our ex-golf Madison poll question, do the Packers owe it to Jordan Love to trade him elsewhere? Right now, 57% of you say, no, they don't owe him anything.
They owe him bupkis.
Bupkis. I'm Jim Rutledge, alongside Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton.
Hello.
We got the Strofinator back at the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios.
That's Coach Strof, and I am now 2-0 in my curling coaching career.
What kind of half-ass coaching do you do that you just show up one time? Was he here yesterday?
No, but he gave me a nice little pep talk before the game.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you should try and score more points than the other team. And yeah. I was like, that's a brilliant pep talk.
Yeah, that is good. My bad, Strofe. I didn't know you were such a wordsmith there.
Oh, yeah, we have a film session every day as well. Yeah. So we've been doing some film break
questions.
No, we were watching Big Lebowski.
Gotcha.
Movies. Good,
great movie.
And then Strof says, I thought you curled. You're like, yeah,
I did. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it just helps clear my mindset there. This is Rutledge and Hamilton presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do. We're also outfitted by Iron Jock. I was at Carbon World Health earlier today. Worked out in my Iron Jock gear. Love that gear. High-tech gear. Keeps the shirt from getting all stinky. And also looks good. You look good. You
I
work
you
out
actually
good.
Also can improve the weight you can lift if you wear Iron Jock.
That's what I like. Hey, you look good. You feel good. You lift good.
Yeah.
And Iron Jock, Wisconsin-based company, so we love them. And love being outfitted by Iron Jock here on Rutledge and Hamilton. We're going to have some awesome Rutledge and Hamilton Iron Jock gear that we'll be rocking sooner than later, so that's exciting as well. Even the Strophs there, the kid back there, you know, what size are you, Stroph? Because you're, like, super skinny, yeah. But you're tall.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what size do you wear?
If they have a large tall available, that is preferred, if not extra large.
Large tall slim.
Correct, yeah. A lot of asterisks go into my clothing.
Athletic
but,
fit.
Yeah.
Now I understand why you seem to only have like four pieces of clothing. So now it makes
more
sense. What
is that supposed to mean?
I feel like I've seen everything you wear. That's all. You got that sweatshirt with the stain on it that you wear once a week?
I've worn that like twice. That was in the back of my car for 3 months, actually. So that was the first time you've seen it in a long time, you little liar.
We're just going to have to get you some more Iron Jock gear because you look good and you'll produce good.
I got like 40 sweatshirts. I don't think it's true that it's only four. That was rude, Jim.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know
sizing
that.
Sizing is hard, though, man. Like, I'm, like, right in between a large and an XL.
Same.
Me three.
Yeah.
It's so inconvenient. Like, you almost have to – everyone's like, what size do you want? It's like, I don't know. I pretty much need to try it on.
Yeah, well, because you're fancy. I mean, you can have stuff that could be fitted for you now. People will just, like, figure out – I mean, you're Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton. People make things happen. Regular guy like me, like, this shirt right now, I was explaining this to my wife today. The sleeves are rolled up. Because if I pull them down, they come to here. This is a large, but they come
that's
about
good.
Maybe
that
a couple
shows
inches.
Shows your watch off,
right? It does show my watch off, but it also looks like it's going to burst because it it comes about a couple inches short of my wrist, and then the sleeve looks like it's holding on for dear life. The buttons are, and this is just a large
looks
shirt.
Like the seams are holding on for dear life. Because
I know
got
the guns from working out of Carbon World Health as well. I've done that 6 week experience over there. You can see what guns you can build up over at Carbon World Health, and they got that M sculpt over there. Maybe Matt and I'll get back over there, and you know the show that M sculpts together stays together. Maybe we can work Strophy into it as well. Because the great thing about M sculpt is if you make it part of what you're doing as far as your daily workouts and a healthy lifestyle, M sculpt can add to it. It's not a magic fix, but it can add to it. So you can have the M sculpt do that for 30 minutes, and your body's going to think you did thousands of push-ups, or excuse me, not thousands of sit-ups, or you can do thousands of squats. So if you use it as part of a healthy diet and working out at Carbon World Health, then M-Sculpt's going to help you get faster results. So Carbon World Health is always on the cutting edge, and check them out, whether it's recovery or workout. They always have it figured out. And don't forget, it's run by a board-certified physician in Dr. Rodriguez. This is Rutledge and Hamilton. We are presented by Coors Light. We're talking Jordan Love. And it's just, we want to know from you, 844-770-3776. If you're Goody, are you trading Jordan Love? I don't know what you get for him, but maybe you just cut your losses. You move on from the story then. You trade him to the Colts. Yeah, Jordan Love, maybe he's playing, maybe he's not, but you move on from the story. You elevate everyone's favorite, Ben Kirk. And I don't know. It's professional sports. And I don't know if anyone really owes anyone in professional sports, but at the same time, when you have someone like Love that was drafted in the first round, who in his mind is drafted the first rounder, would want an opportunity. And he doesn't have an opportunity. That's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's his fault. They drafted a guy, now they don't have an opportunity for him. Quarterback's different than any other position. He's not really going to get an opportunity to shine. He got a little bit this last preseason, but he got dinged, and then he missed some games, and that was that. So
he had a chance in Kansas City.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Taking the blame for that one. He didn't scheme it right for
– that's being a good coach.
I mean,
he didn't scheme
right.
Against the worst defense in the NFL. And
well, I mean, a little more dink and dunks might have been the play there.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, though, Love needs an opportunity, and I think the Packers, you can make a case, owe it to him. Do you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Matt just like is blown away by what happened here, so I want to know what – share a little play-by-play.
Sorry.
So we're at the Suter Ice Arena, at the Suter Ice Capital Ice Arena for the USA Curling Mixed Doubles National Championships, and they have one of the matches here on the screen.
The opponent that I was playing last night, this Anderson Clausen team, they were down big. Like, they were done. It was like – what was the score? 7-1 at one point after five ends. So there's only three to play. Ended up scoring 5 points in the last three ends to tie it, and the other team just missed on a very close shot. It's the game's over at that point, and they let him back in the door, and it's just curling's crazy, man. Anyone can win at any given time, and this is proof. We just watched the last shot here live, so it kind of was shocking. But I'm sorry, I got
no. Matt was amazed. I couldn't struggle. I couldn't not acknowledge. I just wanted to make sure Matt was cool talking about it. But Matt was blown away, and he'd been watching this for a little bit here, as far as what was going on, how it was progressing, and he was blown away that that happened here. So
that comeback is insane.
And weirdly,
it's like the Hoosiers coming back to beat Michigan.
A wild game.
Yeah, that's what I'm equating this 5-point comeback to.
Now, I don't know which one of these teams will end up in the NIT then, like Michigan will likely do now, but the Big Ten tournament is going on as well.
That's tough, man. Indiana solidified their spot today, I think, because that was their fourth or fifth win against the field of teams that will make it. I think Michigan's still okay. I think Indiana and Michigan will both get in, but Michigan definitely looking at a lower seed, probably like a 9 or 10 seed for Michigan, I would think.
Okay, so I was just influenced by social media there, because I saw everyone trying to dunk on Juwan Howard and, you know, see how they welcome to the NIT or how will the NIT treat you. So was all I was seeing on my social media. But so Michigan's right there. They're a bubble team, but it sounds like they'll be in there. We got Throwback Thursday coming up next. We'll reveal our guest on the other side. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Miss any of the show? Find full show podcasts free on Wisconsin On Demand and wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN.
Welcome back to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are due, if the mountains are blue, you know what to do. I've been into the Coors Light a little too much. Let's crush a Coors Light. Got Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton with us.
Hello.
Got Alex Stroff live at the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios. We'll get back to your calls after this segment, but it is a Thursday, which means we like to throw it back with one of our famous friends here. And so we are going to throw back some Vizzy Hard Seltzer. There's one here with the hint of pineapple orange, the Vizzy Mimosa Hard Seltzer Pineapple Orange. They've added a surprising twist to the classic brunch mimosa that's no longer boring. It has tropical fruity taste, pineapple, and sweet OJ. Will take your palate to a brunch paradise. Crisp and refreshing Vizzy Pineapple Orange Mimosa Hard Seltzer brings out a brunch state of mind that'll last all day. I think we're all willing to be in a brunch state of mind all day.
Absolutely.
So we're going to get we have some controversy here because you have a coach in Alex Stroff, apparently, for these mixed doubles national championships. We're at the USA curling event for the mixed doubles national championship at the Bob Suter Capital Ice Arena, and we're bringing in your old coach from the national and now current national director, Phil Drobnik. Phil, thanks for hopping on, and tell us everything bad about Matt, please.
Oh, man. This show is not long enough for me to be able to talk about Matt that long.
How long have you been coaching me?
I've had Matt since, 2008?
Seven.
Wow.
Seven and eight season.
It's been a long time. All this gray hair is because of Matt.
Yeah.
Matt and Chris, pretty much.
Yeah, our teammate Chris, who we had on last Thursday. Phil was our coach during that crazy Olympic run in 2018. Also contributor to that he's got going on now.
Right.
But I think more importantly to the show, Phil lives in Minnesota, was born in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Big Minnesota guy, except when it comes to football. He was a – what were you growing up? Because I know who you were a fan of. Let's get a little background of the teams.
I've gone through a circle of life with all my teams. I was a 49er fan. I was a Giants fan. But then huge Brett Favre fan. So I was a Packer fan for a number of years and then transferred over to the Jets and have stuck with the Jets even though Brett Favre left. So because I could
stuck with the Jets.
Yikes.
So even though I could, because I could never become a Viking fan. So when Brett Favre went there, it was I just couldn't do it.
Why,
so,
why couldn't you become a Vikings fan?
I hate the color purple.
And that's a good enough reason for me. I couldn't become a Viking fan for the same reason.
I just can't see myself wearing purple. Like, I'm not going to do it.
There you go. That's a fair, not good enough reason as any. Now, I don't understand the Jets fandom because that doesn't make any sense.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
I get it following your guy, but not. It's been a rough go for a while.
It's been a rough go, and you know, I think Zach Wilson is going to if they can put some people around him, at least they can maybe get more than four wins next year.
Yeah, I mean, I've got hope. I drafted him in my Dynasty League, so I've got hope that Zach Wilson won't be a total bum here moving forward.
So, Phil, we're out here watching the national championships here for mixed doubles, and I was telling Matt that, look, my first experience into curling was watching Matt in the Olympics this year, so it's a lot different watching it in person, but also is way different than what I saw with Team Schuster and everything. So what do you see out here? What are you know, watching for, and how is it different than, you know, not obviously not Olympic to this level, but more of mixed doubles as opposed to, you know, the stuff we saw with Team Schuster?
Yeah, the best part about mixed doubles is that it's fast-paced. There's a lot of action. Athletes are running up and down the ice. It's quicker. It's where when you were watching Matt in the Olympics, games are going 3 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. Here, they're done in an hour and a half. They play eight ends. There's only five rocks thrown on each team. So I think it's that's one of the most interesting part. And there's always rocks in play. For so people that don't watch curling, it gets a little boring when there's blanked ends and there's not a lot of rocks in play. But this game, there's always rocks in play, which, you know, puts you in a position where you can always have a chance to win.
And, you know, also since you know, did coach Matt at the 2018 Olympic team and all the way back to 2007, what's it been like watching him? Because, you know, the broadcast said that what's great about Matt is everything seems genuine as far as his character on the ice. We've seen this, you know, noticed it in the time that we've known him now for about a year. Everything seems genuine. But how do you manage Matt's personality? How does that fit into a team? And how have you kind of seen him mature from 2007 till now?
Yeah, you know, Matt Wilson, and he really loves teammates and wants to make his team better. You know, one of the I look back to when Matt was really young and really joined the team to where he was when I started again with him in 2014. And Matt really was the energy of the team. He always had John Schuster's back when he started playing with them. And if John didn't make a shot or miss the shot, you know, Matt was there to pick him up. And he really was the backbone of the team back then, with being able to pick Tyler up, pick Matt up, or pick John up, and pick Landsteiner up, and he continues to be the personality, keeps it loose out on the ice, which is, I think, an important part and has led to a lot of the successes they've had.
That's funny you say that, because that's what I do here on this team. Jim has a bag segment. He's down in the dumps. And I'm like, you got it, Jim. You got to bounce back, buddy. We need you for another hour. So it's funny how these sports has really helped train me and hone me for this radio gig.
Yeah.
So, Phil, I want to get back, obviously, talking about a little other sports than curling, because, you know, there's only so much we can say about curling.
Well, wait. So we have, though, your, you know, Mr. Alex Stroph is back at the Park Bank ESPN.
Oh, Madison, that's a good
studios.
Point.
Yeah, I've got
he wanted to hop in here.
Yeah,
this.
I've got a quick question for Phil, because obviously you've coached at the highest level, right? You won an Olympic gold coaching Matt and company back in 2018. I'm looking to win a gold this weekend, Phil. What advice do I need from a coach? Because I'm a complete outsider on the sport of curling. I don't know what the hell a coach is supposed to do in curling. Can you give me some advice?
Yeah, keep Matt happy and allow Matt to do what Matt's going to do. And as long as you do that, you know, I think that Matt and Becca are going to be great this week. Keep them and make sure that Matt's not yelling at his sister. Sometimes, you know, he gets a little mad and he'll yell at his sister. So when that starts to happen, you intervene and keep Matt loose.
Okay, that's good. Now, let me follow up with this then. Would be how do you prevent you know, like a spark like you just mentioned, right? What if they get going at one another? I don't know that I'm in a comfortable position to step between brother and sister. Would you have the comfortability if I maybe hire you as an assistant coach?
I'm not sure that my role would allow me to be assistant coach.
Darn it.
But I think you could just yell something funny from the sidelines there.
Well, Matt, you and your sister have a code word, right?
Yeah. So whenever one of us is going a little excessive, like, I can give her some constructive criticism, but if I keep, like, harping on it, she'll say Snickle Fritz, which is from the movie Pineapple Express. And that's just like, one, it's a funny word to say.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's just something to help lighten the mood and then remind you. It's like, hey, don't be such a jerk. So we've got you, Alex. We've had enough of these instances where we've come up with some team systems to set us on the right track. And fortunately, a lot of that is in part due to Phil and the way he's kind of been able to coach me over the past couple of years, and I've been a past couple decade kind of get me dialed in and figure out how I can kind of self-coach and self-manage. Now, Phil, what I wanted to talk about is the Badgers hockey team is not good. The men's. We've had
this
a
year,
bit of a slump.
Cole Caulfield last year, but
pretty good last year.
They still weren't like even the top. They weren't near the top of the table. They were still middle of the road. We had a good player, or maybe a couple. I remember watching the other day, Phil, big Golden Goofer fan. we got drubbed 8-0 and 5-0.
Like, skunked.
I think that might have been last
Absolutely
week.
Skunked.
And I think we're playing them again this week sometime.
No, you guys are done.
We're off the hook. Off. Oh, thank
yeah,
goodness.
The season's over.
So where are the Gophers sitting right now, and what do you see for the future of the Gophers this season?
Yeah, they're ranked number third in the country right now. We've got what I would say is the best player in the country in Ben Myers. They're going to have they've got an opportunity to make a big run here for the NCAA tournament. Should get a one seed in the tournament, and you know, I'm thinking a national championship, man.
Matt's distracted again. When you act like that, I gotta know what happened here. Give us the play-by-play. It's 7-7 in the ninth end, and again, we're at the mixed doubles national championship.
So the team that we had talked about, they're up 7-1 after five ends.
Yeah,
had a total collapse and just lost in the extra. They had the last shot, good opportunity to win the game, did not win the game and lost. It's curling, baby. It's crazy, but you should never lose that game 7-1 lead after five. There's only three to go, and the last four ends that they played, they gave up 6 points or 7 points to lose.
Oh. You might have to call up your sponsor for that one to help those guys out after that
yeah.
game.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And speaking of good sponsors, thanks for that perfect bump.
You know, shout out to the Phil Dropnik, national director and
that was well done.
Say curling 2018 Olympic team coach.
And speaking of great sponsors, this is curling. Win or lose, we still booze. And when I have a choice, I go with Central Standard Distilling. Central Standard has one of my favorite bourbons, Red Cabin Bourbon. It's aged perfection, finished in Cabernet wine casks for 60 days. And just like me, they know a thing about gold medals because they won the LA Spirits Award gold medal a couple years back. So if you like fine bourbons and you like bourbons made in Wisconsin, go to wherever fine liquors are sold and get yours today. Remember, though, you must be 21 or older to enjoy.
And, yeah, Central Standard, the other thing we love about them is that they're just over in Milwaukee. So Wisconsin-made stuff, supporting the Wisconsin companies, one of the things we love to do here. And they also have a cherry vodka and the North Brandy, the Central Standard North Brandy. So
perfect such, for old-fashioned.
Such a mix of delicious, delicious things from Central Standard. And they're made right here in Wisconsin. This is Rutledge and Hamilton. You got to go curl, I guess.
Yeah, I got a game to play. Coach Phil's going to be watching, hopefully cheering me on silently because he's kind of the coach of everybody here.
Yeah.
But I know deep down in his heart he wants me to win because I'm in the hometown right now. We got the hometown crowd. We got the hometown favorites.
ESPN's going to be back out here on Saturday in a suite here cheering you on.
Hopefully
so we're gonna be
still be playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, he'll be hanging out with us.
Otherwise, he'll be up here.
This is Rutledge and Hamilton. Phil, thank you for hopping on. Matt, good luck. This is Rutledge and Hamilton presented by Coors Light. The mountains are blue. You know what to do. Let's crush it, Coors Light.